We're going to continue with the balance series. And this is the Thanksgiving weekend. So I'm going to present to you, it's a biblical law that we have discussed before. We've used it. And then a law that builds off of that. And it presents a balance that has to exist in our lives in order for there to truly be Thanksgiving. Okay? So there's a process and there is a biblical law that mandates to us the responsibilities that we have as believing Christians towards our fellow man, that we have to be honest to, and that we have to adhere to in order for there to be Thanksgiving in the world and for people to truly understand and know what is true Thanksgiving. So let's look at the biblical law of balance. We looked at it last week. Okay, it's found in Galatians. This is Paul writing, and he is presenting a biblical law, and it says that God will not be mocked, so don't be deceived. And here is the law, that whatever you sow, the seeds that you sow, that you will reap. And last week we talked about if you sow selfish seeds, you will reap a selfish harvest. So if you sow only for yourself, then you will reap a selfish harvest only for yourself. And sometimes that sounds great, that sounds good, but in the context of blessings and living in a family and in a biblical Christian church family, that is not productive and that is not healthy. And it goes on, it says that if you sow to the flesh, if you sow to self, you will reap self. You will reap corruption to yourself. But he who sows in a spiritual manner will reap everlasting life. That's the promise. That is the biblical law. Okay? That is presented to us by Paul. And then let's look, because in 2 Corinthians 9, this is where I'm going to be for the remainder of the sermon here. In 2 Corinthians 9, he brings this law back in, and then he flavors it and presents it in the law that exists towards Thanksgiving. And here is the mandate. Here are the things that we have to understand and that we have to do in order for us to truly understand what Thanksgiving is, and then for our fellow man to experience and to truly understand what Thanksgiving is. This is the biblical law of Thanksgiving. And it comes to us through and out of a biblical law of reaping and sowing. And it says again, I say this, he who sows sparingly will reap a harvest that is not plentiful. So if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow just a little bit of seeds, you will reap just a little bit of seeds. If you only present a little bit of kindness towards people, then there will only be a little bit of kindness received and felt and experienced by those who come into contact with you. But he who sows bountifully and sows a whole bunch of seeds, he will reap a bountiful harvest. So this is the law that extends off of that original biblical law. So let's now look at what this means to Thanksgiving. How do you apply this towards Thanksgiving? And what is being said here that has to happen so that we and the world can truly understand Thanksgiving? Because let's just get it straight. Without understanding who Jesus Christ is, you can never understand Thanksgiving. It cannot truly happen. Because you don't understand what true sacrifice is. You will never understand what true grace and mercy is. Therefore, you can never understand and experience true thanksgiving without Jesus Christ existing in your life. And then this will be built off, because for those who don't have Christ in their lives, they can experience thanksgiving, but that is mandated and it has to happen through us. So here's what is being said, and here's the biblical law of thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9, it goes on, it says, so let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly, out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so let's extend this on here, all right? Because, and I may upset some, I may not, all right? The tithe, that's Old Testament, okay? Here's New Testament giving. Here's New Testament giving. Because here's, people get upset because when preachers say the tithe is Old Testament, then everybody says, oh, I don't have to give 10%. I can only give 8%. But here is the true understanding of giving as presented in the New Testament. And here's what it is saying, is that you have to give according to your heart. You have to give according to how you're led. If that's 10%, good for you, give 10%. If that's 8% and the other 2% you give grudgingly, I'm just going to tell you, according to the Bible, God will not bless the other 2%. And here's the other thing. If you make a whole bunch of money and God leads you to give 50 or 60% of that, then you need to be honest with your heart and what God is leading you to do and give the 50 or 60%. That's New Testament giving. That's what it says, is that you have to give according to how God leads you and what he's placing into your heart. And you have to do it with a cheerful heart, because God loves when we give cheerfully. That's what it says. That's the Bible right there, okay? Then he's going to build off of that, verse 8. And it says that God, and then this is the understanding. This is the promise, is that if you get it right in your heart and you do as God is leading you to do, because what ends up happening is when people start talking about increasing giving or giving more or more than what is expected, or that word more comes out, then there starts to be a shield that comes up. And they start to say, well, what's he trying to do? Get a raise? Or what's going on here? Or this is a message of giving. This is not a message of giving. This is a message of thanksgiving. And in order to truly understand thanksgiving, we have to get over the roadblock of selfishness. We have to get over the roadblock of hoarding it all for myself. Because the doctrine that I'm going to lay out to you this morning, it is frowned upon in the world today. This will not sell in the world today, in the business world. It's not going to be popular out there. Because what's being sold out there is that it's mine, I've worked for it, you had nothing to do with it, and if you try to come and get it, I'm going to do everything I can to keep you from getting any of it, and I'm going to keep it myself. That's what exists in the world today. That is not what the Bible says for us to do. That's not what we're mandated to do. And what we need to do, first of all, is to understand that any type of giving that happens here, it has to happen according to your heart and how God is leading you to give. And you give cheerfully. Because if you don't give cheerfully, what God is saying is that I don't need it and I'm not going to bless it. And then he goes on and he says that here's the promise. If you give, and if you give according to what I'm placing in your heart, and you're pursuing God's will as he's placed it inside of your life here today, here's the promise. The promise is that he will make all things abound, grace abound towards you, and that you will have all self-sufficiency in things. You will be able to take care of yourself. You will not go without because I'm asking you to give more than what you can give. That's the promise that Jesus is saying to us this morning. Is that if you're asked to give according to your heart, give according to your heart. And the promise is that God is not asking you to give more than what you can give and put you in a state to where you hurt yourself. But what he is saying is that if you give, and you give according to your heart and how you're being led, then he will bless you. That's not a prosperity gospel, but he will bless you, and you will be able for all the things that it takes to be sufficient in this world. See the tag there? For every good work. You will have abundance for every good work. All right? So let's move on. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Here, this is Psalms 112, 9. Look it up if you don't trust me. Psalms 112, 9. And this is what he's saying, is that we as Christians are the reflective glass of Christ in this world. Jesus Christ is the light. We are the reflection of Christ in this world. That's why we're called to go out and be a light in a dark world. Because we are to reflect the love of Jesus Christ. And this is what he's saying, is that how he is reflected in this world is through our giving and our serving. That's how he's reflected. People don't care what you can do for them until they know that you care for them and that you love them. So we have to truly serve people, and we have to give. We have to give cheerfully from the heart, because that is what will reflect Christ in the most authentic way in this world. And how he's reflected is through our living, our giving, and our serving. And we are mandated to be the reflection of Jesus Christ in this world. That's why he brings Psalms 112, 9 into this doctrine right here, is because through giving, we are to reflect Jesus Christ. So then he goes on, and he says, now may he who supplies the seed. Okay, so now we need to really dig in to the law and to the doctrine. Because when you start talking about giving, people start feeling for their wallet, and they start thinking about my money, my assets. You're asking me to give more of what I have. And here is the doctrine, is that God supplies all the seed. Do you see that right there? He who supplies the seed to the sower. So we're back to that original thought that we had when we started this series, is that all things belong to God. We don't possess anything. All things that we have are gifts from God. And until we get that mentality and understand that fact, then our thinking, our giving, our serving will always be tainted with selfishness. Because all things come from Jesus Christ. All blessings pour from Jesus Christ. The money that you have in your bank account, that's a gift from Jesus Christ. The job that you get up and do tomorrow morning, or whoever does it tonight, or whatever your shift is or time or whatever, that is a gift from Jesus Christ. Your family, your children, your grandchildren, they are a gift from Jesus Christ. All your assets, your cars, your house, whatever, that is a gift from Jesus Christ. And the second that we look at it as ours and what belongs to me, then it taints our living, giving, and serving in a negative way. And so what the Bible is clearly stating here is that all things come from Jesus Christ. And for us to sow, to have seed to sow, the seed comes from Jesus Christ. It's not ours. Make sense? And then bread for food. So many of us think that we take care of ourselves, and we do that, and I do mine, and I take care of me and mine, all right? You do, but here's the thing. That is a blessing that pours through Jesus Christ. Why do we pray at the beginning of a meal? Because it's to give thanks, it's to imitate what Jesus Christ did at the Last Supper to remind us who Jesus Christ is, but it's also to remind us that all things flow through Jesus Christ, even this McRib that we're about to eat, all right? Has anyone ever figured out what a McRib actually is? I would like to know if I can eat it or not, all right? Will someone find out what kind of meat that is? There's absolutely no meat in it? All right, I can eat it then. Awesome. Even the bones are meat, right? All right. Okay, so, Wait. All right, here we go, sorry. So here it is. He supplies and he multiplies the seeds that have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Okay? So now here's the deal. This, and I don't want you to think prosperity gospel here. Okay? Because remember this, all right? Prosperity gospel is a selfish gospel. There's nothing in the Bible that will ever preach selfishness. It's not there. It doesn't exist. And if you read the Bible and you come away with a selfish perspective, then you haven't read it right. And you need to go back and reread it. It's not there. There's no selfishness in the Bible. So when we start talking about multiplying, supply, and all that, that has nothing to do with us. And here's the thing. When we're asked to give, and we're asked to sow bountifully and to throw out the seeds bountifully, here's the understanding that those seeds belong to Jesus Christ originally. They're not ours. And then he provides all things through us, even our meals, even our existence is provided through Jesus Christ. And then through our giving and our serving and our living, the promise is that he will multiply the seeds that you have sown. So you're thinking, all right, so I'm going to have more assets, more money to give so I can give more. That's not what he's saying. Here is what he's saying is that this is Jesus Christ math. And if we sow with how God leads us to give and to serve, and it comes from a cheerful heart, regardless of how much we sow, he will take that amount and he will increase it tenfold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold. Because that's what God does, is he takes our good acts, which Paul calls dirty rags. The best that we have to offer is dirty rags. But if we do that with a cheerful heart, the doctrine and the promise through the Bible is that he will take that and he will multiply it in the blessings and the giving that affect those around us and those that are affected by our giving. It has nothing to do with us. And see, what we end up doing is reading this sometimes and turning it into a blessing for us. And what he's asking is, I'm currently blessing you. I'm giving you jobs. I'm giving you a life. I'm giving you a family. Enjoy the blessings that you have now. Turn those into blessings for others. Sow bountifully. And when you sow, I will take your seed and I will multiply it where hundreds, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are blessed through your single giving. That's the promise through Jesus Christ. That's the math that he's presenting here. And it says that while you enrich everything liberally, here is the doctrine now. Here's the understanding. Now we're at the law of thanksgiving, because what he's trying to do is explain to you, this is how people are blessed. This is the understanding that you need to get, is that you're blessed in your life with assets, with money, with family, all the things that we cherish in this life, that all flows through Jesus Christ as a blessing to us. And we're asked to give. Whatever way, not just with money. Sometimes people cop out with checks. They don't want to spend any time dealing with any kind of people, and I'll just write you a big old check. Does that do good? We'll take the big old checks, but that doesn't exclude you from actually serving either, okay? All right? So remember, the widow's mite was more than what the guy gave who was praying, thank God I'm not the widow, right? All right, so through our giving, we're asked to give with a cheerful heart, and according to how God's leading us to give. And then the promise is he'll take our serving and our giving and he'll multiply it according to how he blesses everybody around us. And then through that, and only through that, look what happens. it causes thanksgiving through us to God. That's how people experience thanksgiving without Jesus Christ. That is the only way that they can ever experience thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, is through our giving, serving, loving, forgiving, grace, mercy. As we deal with people, that's how they experience Jesus Christ. That's how they come to understand thanksgiving. It's through us, how we turn our blessings around and use it to bless other people. That's how people truly understand thanksgiving, true thanksgiving. And they will never experience thanksgiving, here's the sad part, unless we give, serve, forgive, offer grace and mercy. And as I was writing this sermon, I was really struck with the thought, how many times have I been placed in an opportunity, Aaron Phelps has been placed in an opportunity where I had the chance to serve somebody who didn't really know who Jesus Christ was and was there to find Jesus Christ in the first person through me, what we call the fruit of the spirits, right? And I let that person down because I was selfish. I was in a bad mood. I didn't feel like serving that day. I got an issue with so-and-so. And someone may not ever truly understand what thanksgiving is because Aaron P. Phelps failed them that day. That's a sad thought, isn't it? And so now all I can do is pray that I get a second chance with some of those people that I failed. But how monumental is it that God would set it up that in order for the world, now think about this, think about this, think about the state of the world where we are today, that God would set it up that in order for the world to feel thanksgiving, it would have to flow through his bride, the church. Isn't that an amazing thought? What a mandate put on us. What a job that's placed on us. Now, it's more about just checking off boxes. I didn't do this and I didn't do that. I had a good day. Here's the deeper box. Did you serve someone in a way that they truly felt what thanksgiving is for the first time in their life? Are you giving from a cheerful heart? Are you abiding by your, and I'm not just saying giving, remember, in monetary terms. I'm talking about giving of yourself, of your time, of your effort, of your forgiveness. Sometimes the greatest giving you ever give is to give forgiveness to someone who never asked for it. So in our giving, are we doing it in such a way that God is able to take our giving and multiply it so that people can come to truly know what thanksgiving is through us to God? Here's the promise. He shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to him who is able to do more than we could ever comprehend, above all things that we ask of him or are able to think to ask him, he does it according to the power that, now let's look at that, isn't that amazing? That works in us. If you want people to truly understand what thanksgiving is, guess where it has to come from? It has to come from God, but it has to come through Jesus Christ. And then it has to be exhibited and reflected through us. That's a tough call. That's a tough job. And here's the secret. If we first seek the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and His will, then these things will be added to you. You will have the ability to do the things that we're discussing today. And because of that, people will be blessed by your living and serving. This is a direct quote from Jesus Christ right here. To him who much is given, much will be required. And to whom much more has been committed, more they will ask of him. This is not a one and out. This is a lifestyle. This is a change of heart. This is a direction of your life. We are asked to do this and do it every day. Now you know what is being said when he says, make yourself a daily living sacrifice. We are to be the reflection of Jesus Christ as he lives through us. And as we reflect Jesus Christ, people will understand thanksgiving for the first time ever. So let's look at the evidence. All right? So let's look at how we can apply this and what is the evidence that comes through the application. We'll move on in 2 Corinthians. Okay? For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, it's not only helpful to us and to the church, but it also is abounding through us that many will give thanksgiving to God. Now, do you know what that's saying to us? Is that if we live, if we serve, if we give in the right kind of way, then people will truly understand thanksgiving and they will connect that to God because of the way that we served and gave to them. And through our ministry and through our service, people will truly understand thanksgiving and they will connect it to God. This is also a teaching moment. This is also a teaching in action. And it says that while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify, now look, they glorify God for the obedience that we show towards God. The faith that we exhibit towards God makes an impact on those who don't truly understand what faith is. And those who don't understand where all things come from, if we serve people in the correct manner and we don't need all the accolades good to go to us, but we give all glory to God because of our obedience, that makes an impact on the people that we're serving. And they understand that all glory goes to God. And it's through our obedience to God that they learn that. And it says that the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, this happens when we liberally share with our fellow brothers and sisters. So this is a call to serve and to serve liberally. Sometimes we're very selective with our service. We only want to serve certain types of people. We want to exclude certain people because they don't fit the kind of people that we want to serve. And here's the thing. God is calling us to serve all mankind from all corners of the world. He named it all. Go and serve and baptize them. Explain to them who Jesus Christ is through your living, through your giving. And they will understand Thanksgiving for the first time as we are the reflection of Jesus Christ in a dark world. And that's the other promise, is that through our sharing, through our living, through our giving, because of that, they will understand the exceeding grace of God that came through us as they interacted with us and as we served them, as we loved them, as we forgave them. The promise is that others will experience Jesus Christ in the first person as the fruit of the Spirit's bloom through us. And here's the evidence of the Thanksgiving, that thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And what is the gift of God? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gift of God. So this is a huge mandate that is placed on each and every one of us, collectively, individually. And here is the mandate. We have to truly understand that nothing that we have belongs to us. It's all given to us by Jesus Christ. We are called to be stewards, to take care of the blessings that God gives us. We are called to take care of us and our own. And then we are called to give and to sow in a manner so that God can take those blessings as we give from a cheerful heart according to how God calls us to give. And then he multiplies that in such a way that people experience Jesus Christ through the first person as he lives through us and as we are the reflection of Jesus Christ in this world. And here's the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning. How bright is the reflection coming off of us this morning? A little heavy-headed for a bald guy saying that with two spotlights shining on his head. I understand that, okay? All right. But here's the question. Here's the question. How reflective are you? Are people experiencing Jesus Christ? Are you giving from a cheerful heart? Are you doing what God's asking you to do? What about as a family? How reflective is your family? And then let's just boil it down. How reflective are we as a church? How reflective is Star Church in this community? I mean, we can pat each other on the back and talk about all the things that we do. Yeah, we do a lot of great things here. There's great people that go here. Friendliest church you'll ever come to. That's what everybody says. Okay? Great music. All right? Preaching, so-so. But all right? We come together as a family. But let's just be honest. When we leave here, when we go out into the community, what kind of impact are we making on the community? That's something that we constantly need to be asking ourselves. What impact are we making on the communities that we live in? Because if we're not making a huge impact on the one that we're being called to make, then we're not doing it right. And we're not living up to what we've been asked to do. So I know that some of you come in and serve and you do your thing and you tap out. That's great. We appreciate all the service that happens here. But I'm your pastor and I've been given the job to push, to push, to push. Sometimes my basketball kids look at me like, good Lord, man, you've been on me from the time the game started to the time ends. And you know what I tell them? That's because I love you and I know there's more in there and that's the only way I feel like I can get it out of you. All right? So I'm here to tell you today, let's be so bright that people have to squint when they talk to us. You understand what I'm saying? We can serve more. We can do more. We have to have the balance as God pours into our lives that we sow into other people's lives. There has to be a balance there. And then he takes that balance and multiplies it. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. After a couple of days, as we take off and we think about how blessed we are by just just performing gluttony all weekend, right? Just overeating and everything, okay? But let's just have a heart-to-heart with ourselves this morning. Ask yourself, how reflective are you? How bright is your reflection of Jesus Christ? How bright is this church? How bright is our reflection? And then I'm just going to lay it out. If you're truly concerned about the reflection that you're making in this life, I'm asking you to come up and let's pray about it. If you're concerned about the reflection that we as a church are making in this community, in the communities that we serve in, come up and let's pray about it. Because this is the mandate that we've been given. And here is the law, is that for people to truly understand thanksgiving, it has to come through us in our serving as Jesus Christ lives and serves through us. We are the conduit. So we come up to the altar for a lot of reasons. If you had a great week, come up. If you got a celebration, come up, let's celebrate. If you got something looking at you in the face, you need to pray about it, let's come up and pray about it. If you're not right where you need to be, let's come up and pray about that. And if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't waste another moment. Come up and make the best decision you ever make. I'll open up the altars to you.